Thank you, Kylie. Good morning, friends. How are we this morning? That's good. There's going to be some friendly faces come up on the screen. I'd like you to tell me, if you can, while I get set up here, what do all these people have in common?
I look happy.
You look happy,
that's true. They can
sure help with our offertory. Oh, that's for sure. One or two of these in the congregation giving 10%, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? It's a really tricky one. You're not going to get it.
The fires.
Sorry?
Were they burnt out, were they, at Palisades?
Ah, burnt out at Palisades. Oh, could be. Good call. These are all winners of the Best Supporting Actor for the last 3 years. I know you all keep up with your Academy Awards. You all knew that, of course. I chose these people because being a supporting actor is a really tough gig. Their part in the movie is purely to show the audience how good the main character is. It's only as the main character interacts with these supporting actors that we find out how strong or kind or brave the main character is. Without these men and women, we'd have no idea, and the main character would remain a mystery to us. And yet the main character gets all the glory. We only know how clever Sherlock Holmes is because he explains everything to Watson. We see James Bond as heroic because he has the Bond girl to save and the villain to fight. Supporting actors, they show us the best qualities of the main character. They glorify the main character. And we too are supporting actors. Friends, in the stories of our life, we are not the main character. God is the main character. And the purpose of our life, our part in God's story, is to help others see how good God is. And this psalm that Kylie's just read for us is our call to stage. It's the call for all the supporting actors to get ready, take their spot on the stage, and prepare to tell the audience how good and faithful our God is. Let me pray before we get into this, and then we'll see what it has to teach us. Lord and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to sit here under it. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, to learn from it, to be shaped by it, and to learn better how to play our part in your story. We pray that this would be to your glory, and in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Okay, so this psalm, Psalm 107, it's really only three verses long. I probably should have told Kylie that before she read the whole thing. Let's go through it quickly and I'll show you what I mean. So we start with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We've heard this before. This is a very common refrain in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms. It's a call to praise, particularly a call to thank God for his covenant promises and his faithfulness to them. And then we've got verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. The NIV actually has a much clearer translation for this. The NIV translation is, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those whom he has redeemed from trouble. And then we jump all the way down to the last verse, verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Everything between these beginning and end verses are examples of the stories that the redeemed may tell. Stories that glorify God, showing his steadfast love. There's many, many places in the Old Testament where God's people are told to share their stories of God's deeds. Right, the Israelites were told to pass down stories of God's faithfulness to their children. Many of the Psalms end with the psalmist declaring, I'll sing your praises in the company of the redeemed. And the New Testament, of course, commands all those redeemed by Jesus to be witnesses in the world, to share their story of what Jesus has done for them. So if this is the case, why is it such a rare treat to hear these stories? If I was to invite you to grab a coffee with me and share with me how God has been at work in your lives, only 12% will answer. Why the hesitation? Well, I think there's lots of things that hold us back. Maybe it's just because it's me asking. Could be. But the most common excuse I have heard of this is people say, I just can't think of a story. I just can't think of a story of God working in my life. That's kind of tragic. And it's not true, of course. If you've been redeemed, then God works through every circumstance in your life for your good. He's involved in every single moment. But to be fair, it does take wisdom to recognize it. That's why this psalm ends on this last verse. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. It takes wisdom to recognize God at work in our lives. And we gain that wisdom through his word, but also as we attend to the stories of others. And attending is more than just listening. It's really paying attention to their stories. Chew it over. Ask questions. Look at it from every angle. Dig and find the steadfast love of the Lord. As we do this, we'll begin to recognize God at work in their life. We'll get to recognize how God is at work in our life. And we'll gain some insight into how God works in general and how we play our part in his story. Let's attend to these example stories that we have here in Psalm 107 and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. To tell these stories, though, I need some supporting actors. I need some kids to come up and help me. Can I get four kids who are really good at acting, particularly overacting? I need really exaggerating actors. Come on, kids, come and help. Good on you, Atticus. Three more? Yes, come on up. Thank you. Great, Daniel. One more. Okay, yes, come on. No, don't leave me hanging. One more. We just need one more. Fantastic, Daniel. Thank you. I'll explain what you're doing in a moment. Thank you, guys. All right, let's have a look at these. Let's have a look at our stories. You guys are the redeemed. Okay, that means that God has chosen you to be his people. I'm going to step down here. If it feeds back, I apologize. I'll get up. Okay. I'm going to read out your stories, and you're going to act them out for us. Okay, so can I get Daniel? You're actually perfect standing right here. Atticus, you're in a great order already. We'll just get you standing at the front. Okay, so each of these stories starts with a kind of distress, okay, some trouble. That's what you're going to act out for us. So Daniel, the first story says, some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Okay, so you're in need, you're hungry, okay? You're looking for a new home. Well, all you have to do is kind of just walk on the spot and just hold your tummy like this. Can you do that? And kind of look, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry.
I'm not going to...
No, no, no words, just the acting. Can you do that for me? Yeah, limp. That'd be fantastic. Nice work. Oh, there we go. Bringing it to life. Oh, beautiful. That is distress, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Okay, Atticus, it's big shoes to live up. Can you? Let's see if we get this. You've got the difficult one. Are you ready? Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labour and fell down with none to help. Basically, this is what we think of when we think of a story. It's a testimony. You've rebelled against God. You haven't listened to his words. And he's brought you to a place where you see your sins and the punishment that you deserve. Okay, you feel like you're in irons. You're shackled. You guys, you were just at Hope in Hobart in Tasmania. Did you guys go to Port Arthur?
No, we didn't.
No preparation. Sorry, so you're on your own on this. Okay. Imagine being in prison in chains, but you know you just kind of belong there and you're really sad about it. Maybe you just sort of can't hold your hands out. Go and you've got to look sad about this. Great work.
That's it.
Okay, story number three. You ready? Okay. This is tricky as well, sorry. Some were fools through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and they drew near to the gates of death. Now, believe it or not, some people still sin even after they come to know Jesus. And sometimes they do it a lot. Okay? Sometimes God needs to let them know that they're sinning, so he lets them suffer the consequences of their sin. Okay, some broken relationships, even sickness. There's lots of consequences that can come up. Thankfully, this one's quite easy to act out. This is what you've got to do. Ready? I'm such an idiot. You don't have to say it. You can just face palm. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Distress number four. This is the fun one, but it's a bit longer. Okay. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. Okay, so you're a trader. You've gone out in a ship, into a boat. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised a stormy wind. Maybe you guys can be the storm. Can you blow? Be the wind. There we go. Great. They lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. So God has sent a mighty storm against you. The boat goes up all the way to heaven. The boat comes all the way down to the depths. You're staggering around. You've lost all your courage. You're afraid. You've lost your lunch. That's gone overboard. Where do all those diced carrots come from? I don't know. Okay, so that's your scene. So can you all act out your scenes? Daniel, can you limp around? You're in irons. You're being silly. You, up and down in the waves and stumbling about. Can you do that for us? There we go. Good work. Okay, now all the stories, verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Everyone, fall to your knees in prayer. Excellent. Perfect. And he delivered them from their distress. So deliverance one, Daniel, our longing pilgrim. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. You found your city, Daniel. Get up. Hooray! Hooray! We're not done, but we'll come back to you. Okay. Deliverance two, our lost soul imprisoned in sin, Atticus. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. You've been saved. Hooray! Woo! Deliverance three, our struggling sister broken by sin here. He sent out his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. You've been freed from your sin. Hooray! Yeah! Deliverance four, our seasick trader confronted by God's awesome power. He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad the waters were quiet and he brought them to their desired haven. He brought you through the storm and you're in port. Hooray! Yeah! And again, we see the same response from all of these. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And to help you do that, you're supporting actors, but this is a speaking part. I've got some lines for you. Okay, let me see. So I'll grab this microphone over here. If you want a line, Daniel, you can come over. Great. Thank you, Lee. Okay, let's see. It's yours. You've got the longest because it's the toughest part. There you go. Okay, Daniel, can you read that for us?
God has satisfied my longing and fills me with good things.
Woohoo! Good work. Yay! Atticus?
God has saved me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature night. Thin eye diffused and quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee.
Well done.
I thank God for my exposing sin. I will tell others about him, what he's done.
Good work. Can you do this? You want some help? Do you want to read it for her?
Our God is an awesome and mighty God. I will praise him in church.
Well done. Give him a hand. Thank you, kids. You can go sit down. You've done a great job. You can. Your Academy Awards are in the mail. Okay. Well, I'll be inviting the rest of you to come up soon to share your stories as well. And so to that end, in your notes, I've left you some space where you can think through your story using the structure given to us in these examples. Distress, leading to prayer, leading to God's deliverance, leading to us glorifying Him. Now, of course, this isn't the only way that God works in our lives. Your story may well follow a very different pattern. That's fine. I'd love to hear it. But before that, let's quickly see what wisdom we can gain as we attend to these stories that our kids have just acted out for us, and how these examples might help us think through our own story. First of all, it's interesting, isn't it, that all these stories start with distress. This doesn't mean we only see God at work in suffering. He does work in our lives during the good times as well. But this psalm does speak a truth that we tend to see our need for God's deliverance best when we can no longer save ourselves. Like a good movie, it's hard to see the main character as a saviour if there's nobody that needs to be saved. In his book, In the Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis observed this as well. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. God's story is one of saving and transforming a self-reliant, self-centered people to a God-reliant, God-centered people. People who recognize their need of a saviour and turn to God. And I don't know about you, but typically I don't fall to my knees unless God sweeps out my legs first. So think back on your life. Think about what has driven you to your knees in prayer. That's the start of your story. Was it a longing, a hunger for something better? Was it a conviction of your sin and the judgment it deserves? Was it the consequences of persistent sin in your life affecting your life? Or have you been overwhelmed by God's great sovereignty and power? Then the fact that the same verse, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress, the fact that that's repeated means that it's important. Okay? Prayer is always the right response to distress. That's what the psalmist is trying to say here. It might be a prayer of lament, like Rod taught us from Psalm 13, how long, O Lord? Or it might be a prayer asking, why is this happening to me? You might beg for relief. You may even just fall to your knees and express your trust and thankfulness because, though you can't see it, you know and trust in God's goodness. Whatever form it takes, I've taken the liberty to write the next line in your story down there for you. Then I cried to the Lord in my trouble. The wisdom in these stories in Psalm 107 is be quick to pray, because prayer always comes before deliverance. Each of these stories, as we saw, includes God's deliverance from trouble. And each person I've talked to about this psalm has been quick to say, sure, but God does not always deliver us from our distress. And that's true. These are very wise people. God doesn't always deliver us from trouble. But as we look at Psalm 107, the point I'd like to make is that we have to see deliverance slightly differently today. You see, these stories were given in the context of the Old Covenant, where under the Old Covenant, God promised material blessings for obedience and material punishment for disobedience. Deliverance from troubles was evidence of God's covenant love for his people. We live in the context of the New Covenant. God's promises now for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to those who believe Jesus died for their sins. Deliverance from sin is the evidence of God's covenant love today. Okay, so Old Covenant, the evidence of God's love was deliverance from troubles. New Covenant, the evidence of God's love is deliverance from sin. Still deliverance, but we just have to think about it a bit differently. Christians under the New Covenant, I think, will resonate most with the second story in this psalm. If you remember the one that said, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Now, the conviction of your sin may not be this dramatic, but it should be a common theme for all of the redeemed. This imagery of sinners languishing in prison under the judgment of God, this comes straight out of Isaiah. And in Luke 4, Jesus walks into a synagogue and is asked to teach something, and he picks up the scroll of Isaiah and he He turns to this part and he says that he had come to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus came to bring us God's deliverance, and he's done it. And if we remember this, this is immensely comforting, especially if you're currently going through that distress. There'll be some here today who are in the middle of their story. They're in distress. They've prayed and prayed, but God seems to be missing his lines. Remember the deliverance you've already received in Jesus. Attend to that. Consider in that the steadfast love of the Lord. No matter our circumstances, no matter our distress, we always have a reason to glorify God. You always have a story to tell. You can always put in that line in your story under deliverance, I have been delivered from my sins. Jesus has set me free. Now, this is wonderful, but does this mean God never delivers us from trouble? Well, no, of course he delivers us. What father will give his child a snake when he asks for a fish? He works everything for our good. But the wise person has learned that God's purpose, God's promise to us, what is good for us, is our eternal redemption. That's better for us than our immediate comfort. And God's deliverance can still be seen in our circumstances today, but it's seen as he forgives, as he refines, as he purifies, transforms, disciplines, strengthens, assures, as he breaks us away from our idols, no matter how painful that might be, as he points us back to our capital D deliverance, the deliverance we have in Jesus. It's a complicated thing. It takes a lot of wisdom to see God at work in our lives, but hopefully that helps you see God's deliverance in your story. Finally, each of these stories ended with the same verse. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And again, repetition equals important. It's a call for the redeemed to tell their story, to thank the Lord for his steadfast love, to speak about God's wondrous works to them, to glorify God. Let's do that now. I have four more stories of the redeemed to share with you. Let's attend to those and consider the steadfast love, but this time in the context of the new covenant. It'll be in a video on the screen. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, so in 2007, before we had kids, Nina and I felt called to be sent overseas. So we ended up going to Bangladesh, which is a Muslim country. And arriving there, Nina found it quite actually difficult because the culture was male-dominated and a Muslim country. So she didn't have the freedoms that she would in here in Australia. So her independence was, I had to chaperone her everywhere. Everything had to be done like that. So after 6 or 12 weeks, she came to me saying, I just can't do it any longer. I think I have to go home. And I felt like I was trying to help her over those 6 weeks to get her comfortable, but it hadn't been working. And she got to the point where it just wasn't working at all. And I felt, I didn't understand because we were in this situation where people had given us support to be there and I felt like I was letting them down. So that night she shared that I went to my knees. I didn't understand how we were in this position. I felt so ashamed in a way and disappointed how God could lead us there. I think I was doing the right thing. And then so I prayed all night just to try and understand what was going on. That morning, Nina woke up with an ease and basically said, I think I can do this. And I was amazed, having seek God all night and then her attitude complete changed is quite amazing. It really showed me how God, I guess, you need to rely on him and not your own strength or understanding, because ultimately he's the one that's in control, and we seem to want to control everything. Strange, but yes. Praise God.
My story is that my wife and I, we have four sons, and a couple of them are not believers, and over the years it has caused us quite a bit of distress. And we've both been praying for them for many, many years. We pray that if it's God's will that they would, that the Spirit would convert them, that they would repent of their sin and receive Christ as their Lord and Saviour. I've learned a lot over the years. We both pray consistently, constantly for them, and it's taught us a lot of patience. And in God's time, we believe and hope and pray that they will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior.
Through most of my high school, I saw myself as someone who is quite relaxed and easygoing, didn't feel like I had much things to worry about in terms of trying to be a certain person. And that kind of changed when I started going to university. I started to feel the pressure of being a certain person and achieving a certain goal. It was the first time I experienced a sense of lack of control, and that was quite a scary thing for me to navigate. I really struggled with knowing what to do and feeling like I might not be good enough for God, feeling like I could do better. And didn't matter how much I tried, I still felt like life was unraveling at the seams. It was in kind of those moments where I really came before God afraid of what my life might look like, not only for the rest of uni but for outside of uni as well, calling upon Him for guidance and asking for help. Feeling quite alone and vulnerable in uni, not many people to reach out for. And it was in that same year that God provided me with two Christian friends at uni. And the two friends of mine, they were going through similar struggles. They met with me regularly, invited me to the Bible group. We were able to pray together and just bring our concerns to God. And just share in the struggle together. The one thing that really struck me at that time was how I don't have to have things in control, and I may still feel anxious and nervous, and yet God still is there and He cares. One thing that really was major for me, even to this day, is that God loves me, and even though my life might feel like it's unraveling or I don't have it all in a tight knit situation, that's not the reason God loves me. He provides a way for me because that isn't the case, and He did that through Jesus. And even to this day today, that is something that is comforting for me and helps me through times of struggle, because God is trustworthy and His word is true.
One of the biggest events in our life would be the day two police officers come knocking on our door to inform us that there'd been a tragic car accident, a massive car accident, in Walker Street in Helensburg, and our son had been involved and killed, not just involved, killed. So I, in shock, but went into prayer. And ask the Lord to give us grace over this and strength and hope. From that, amazingly, we sat down with the two police officers and prompted to ask if they'd pray, if we could pray with them, if they'd pray, and they said, we can't pray because it's against their rules. But the young officer under the constable put his hand up and said he'd pray, which was amazing. So the old bloke said, oh, well, I'll pray too. So good lead there, young fella. And then from there, after a week's wait, we got a call from a family whose son was unfortunately the driver, and were asked to go to the hospital. We requested to go to the hospital, and they allowed us. And walked in there and met the father. I hadn't met him before, and just asked him if we could whisper in his son's ear that we loved him, forgave him. There was no issue with what happened. And I asked the father if I could pray over him and if we could read a scripture over him. And he said, yes, he was an atheist, but he said it was this far from believing. So that was pretty cool. So we done that, and that event went through the hospital system, and also the event with the police officer went through the police force. A policeman at Cronulla told me that there was discussion about what had happened at Cronulla Police Station. So that was amazing. And then probably 9 days later, the father knocked on our door and asked to come in. Obviously we let him in because we love that family and we still do love them and have good contact with them now. And he said that we gave him a gift that was unbelievable, and I thought, what's Leanne giving him now? And I said, what have we given you? He said, forgiveness and grace. And that came from an atheist, which blew me off the seat. And so there's other events which have happened, and it's still an ongoing thing, events from this event. So with lots of prayer and that, God delivered us from being angry, from pointing the finger at the blame game. He gave us a heart of love and forgiveness to the other family, and we're good mates with them right up till now, and we always will be. So I'd just like to say there's one scripture that always comes to my mind, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Thanks.
Some great stories, hey? Yeah. This has been the most wonderful sermon to prepare because I've got to hear these stories and not just see them quickly like you have just done, but I've had weeks to chew over them and to think about them and to consider the steadfast love of the Lord. There's so much wisdom that we can glean from these things, and hopefully you have. Let me just share three things as I finish up and before I yield my time for your stories. The stories of the redeemed are messy. They're not Sunday school stories. They do require wisdom to see God at work. But we all have these stories if we gain the wisdom to see them. Another thing I learned is that not knowing why we suffer is a common theme. It was common in every story I heard. It seems to me that God's part as the main character is to know why. Our part as the supporting actors is to trust him. This is what glorifies God. Third, I'd just like to say we need to put ourselves into situations more where we can hear these sorts of stories. Make sure you get yourselves into a Bible study group, and if you're in a Bible study group, share. Go to one of the men's or women's events. These are great events for hearing these sorts of stories. But most importantly, get to know your own stories and share them with others so they can reciprocate with theirs to you. So friends, I'd like to invite you up to share some stories. If you have a story to share, it's a great opportunity to do that now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have our usual reflection time. If you'd like to share your story, can you please come down during the reflection time and let me know, and then it'll just help me manage the time a little bit. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll have some thinking time. Loving Father, we praise you that you are a God who is active in our redemption And we see that in Jesus Christ. We see our deliverance clearly. You have made it clear. You have delivered us from our sins, from punishment for the sins, from the fear of death. You've delivered us into eternal life with you, and we thank you for that first and foremost. But we also thank you that you don't leave it at that, that you do work in our lives, that you train, refine, challenge, assure us in so many different ways. Let us not write off our circumstances as chance or just something we have to endure, but help us, Lord, gain the wisdom to see you at work and to be quick to fall to our knees. Lord, I pray for all those here today who are going through their scene of distress, who are praying to you. Lord, I pray that you would answer them in their distress. I pray you would deliver them from it. I pray that they would be able to find maybe not the meaning for it, but they would find how you're working through it for their good. Bring them alongside other Christians with the wisdom to see it so that they can be assured of your love for them. We thank you, Lord, for all these gifts, for all the blessings you've given us, and that you're not a silent God, but care for us and are growing us and shaping us into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.